Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to End of Days, Episode 2, Part 1. I'm your host, James Easton, and with me today is Brandon Council, just like the first time we did this. We'll be doing 45-minute sessions talking about everything that's going on in the world, which points to the end of days. Brandon will be with us in a moment. I just wanted to announce that I produced a movie called 9/11, The Biggest Lie 7, and it is available on YouTube. There are seven movies in the series. The first one being 9/11, The Biggest Lie. It has reached 910,000 views, which I might add is far superior to most of the movies that are out there on 9/11 truth, or the truth of 9/11. Anyways, still waiting for Brandon, so... okay, so... some of the topics we'll be covering are religion, politics, Russia in particular, the New World Order, nuclear arsenal, Jade Helm, and a number of other things. Basically, apathy, the fact that people are dumbed down in the world, to passively accept what's happening. Accept authority without questioning authority. It goes back to 9/11, but it also goes back further than that, all the way to, well, pretty much World War One. There's a guy named Albert Pike who was a Mason who wrote a synopsis of the three world wars back in late 1800s. So he predicted, so to speak, the wars, and there's a third world war in the works. And, you know, I mean, if all the signs point to a certain place, you're supposed to take heed of it and basically you know, act accordingly. And basically, to put it mildly, the end of days is pretty much a sort of like a biblical thing of, you know, it's been prophesied and all that stuff. It's manifesting now, and if it's forced or if it's a natural progression, that's to be debated, but the fact is it's happening, and it's time to open your eyes and wake the fuck up. So I got with me Brandon Council. How are you doing, Brandon?
Yo, yo, what's up, dude?
Not much. I just did a little intro, and I said we'll be talking about a number of things. Why I hand it over to you, or let me ask you, you were just on a show for 2 hours. Do you want me to talk for a bit, or do you want to take a break?
Yeah, you can. I kind of know where you want to go, so if you want to just kind of like lead, I'll follow.
Okay, good. All right, so basically, the thing that set off alarm bells in my mind for World War III was the sanctions being placed on Russia. But more to the point of Ukraine being involved, I feel personally that Vladimir Putin is just another New World Order stooge. He isn't this awesome, you know, cool leader that rides, you know, grizzly bears and, you know, catches fish with his bare hands. He's not this fucking great guy. He's actually an ex-KGB who's, you know, clawed his way to the top and will step on and murder anyone who stands in his way. So he's not a good guy. If you have that in your head, you're fucking nuts. And yeah, Russia stepped into the Ukraine right after the Olympics. And this is sort of like the opening of this Pandora's box for the creation or the establishment of World War III. So what you have is British, you know, under Cameron, a fucking scumbag Cameron, sending troops over to the Ukraine, and they're supporting a neo-Nazi, fascist, fuck-up, retard, freakbot. Even Canada is behind these guys. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but alas, nobody really pays attention, so it goes by unchecked. So you have all the world leaders on the Western side supporting this neo-Nazi fascist piece of shit in the Ukraine, and the opposition being Russia. So they sent troops and vehicles from the, from Britain, and the U.S. Has already sent troops. They did a little parade through Europe, you know, a show of force. You know, all it does is stir up sentiment of World War II happening all over again. So you got this potential for massive upheaval in the world. I mean, these motherfuckers have nukes, and but there's more to this. It's sort of well established that the New World Order is in place, and it has been for a while. It's not at full strength, but they're still operating under the guise of the old world, where you have presidents and prime ministers and blah, 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 blah. They have a goal. The goal is to wipe out most of human civilization so they can achieve their eugenics program of having 500 million people in a utopic society. These people are fucking nut jobs, but, you know, that's just my opinion. You know, most people have opinions as much as they do have an asshole. And so that... The point is that a lot of people don't realize what's going on. They speak out their ass, and out of their ass comes their opinions. When I'm speaking of my opinions, I'm like, I'm informed. I know what's going on. I talk to people about this on a regular basis. And do you want to jump in now?
What's that? Oh, yeah.
You
want to
jump in?
Well, you said something that I could expand on, which is said something about World War II and you know, bringing up similar military parades that I'm sure, you know, the SS probably did when they were on those fronts. So the whole World War II thing, like, tied in with this and World War One and everything, it really actually kind of woven in very nicely and done to a very finesse fit. With World War II, you had the pre-World War II politics that were around were... they're fascists, and so a lot of like what people would maybe amount down to like a dictatorship or whatever is somebody who really hasn't understood the simplicity to a fascist regime, and they were definitely fascists, and those political assets or political idealisms that the German politicians or government in general may have had was allegedly quelled with the reunification of East and West Germany, which, by the way, Hitler wrote about.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's interesting, too.
South America?
he wrote about this in, 1930s or whatever, saying that. Well, he was saying that the politics of Germany would divide them, but those same politics would bring them back together at some point in time. And that's, what happened with the Berlin Wall fall and stuff. You had East and West Germany was once again reunited. And in this process, 15 to 20 some odd years later, we're just now seeing if you've been paying attention, if anybody's been paying attention, you don't really have to pay attention that closely. But if you've been keeping up on, German politics and government and that whole paradigm, then yeah. you would start to notice that there's a reflection of the sediment that was once spoken back in World War II times. So that mind state of now are, you know, the neo-fascists, but it's not like, you know, that they've never not been around. They've always been around. It's just now we're starting to notice it because they're, you know, things are starting to come to the surface. For, you know, example, you have, again, the sanctions and stuff. So eventually, you know, Germany is going to have to decide whether or not, and that's if, you know, Russia becomes an economic burden on them. But if they do, and they can become an economic burden on Germany simply by, you know, not paying or not being able to fund the importation of goods for whatever reason, sanctions, economic, whatever, faults, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that we have pivoted other countries that are normally
aligned with us.
Again, the only reason why Germany is sympathetic towards Russia is because they hold an economic connection. But again, that's on a tether. You know what I mean? That can break at any time.
Okay.
Given the sanctions and stuff like that. So there's a lot of like really interesting politics of like World War II that most likely led to final disagreements of political, economic, and humanitarian faults, you know, that most likely was probably the underlying motive for that to go forward. But again, we have to remember that all wars are bought and paid for before anybody decides anything. And again, these stages that the world governments are at now, you know, if you're somebody who doesn't believe that the war is something that's a financial motivator, then, you know, pay attention to the things that are happening right now, because again, Russia and United States, you know, just signed some sort of treaty, not essentially a treaty, but it's like lines up the battle plans or whatever, saying certain people won't do this and that and the other. So in other words, and again, a lot of people think that, you know, part of the economic advantage to a government, a company, or, you know, a essential kleptocracy is fear. And, you know, the miseducation of one can be hysteria for hundreds. So nuclear, you know, arms, to the extent of like the MADS clause or the MADS effect won't take play, but you can expect them to violate those nuclear small arms treaties in the offense of armament.
Okay. Yeah, well, so we covered Russia nuclear war to some degree. I want to talk about the United Nations. Basically, the United Nations is Western biased. I mean, they're responsible for the sanctions. They're responsible for the chemtrails. They're responsible for this Agenda 21 sustainability bullshit. You know, there's a real. It's not even a threat. It's a fact. It's like that shit is going to hit the fan. It's coming soon. It will manifest in the form of something that people can understand and therefore react to in a way that is...
that propagates hysteria. Yeah,
well,
you're right.
there's hysteria, but it's like, the Russians are coming. But really, it's
right.
Like, it's the evil fascist fucking New World Order coming, you know? Like,
yeah.
And it's they have their hands in everything, you know, the evil of the world. It breaks down to a battle of good and evil, and I figured out that I mean, I knew this a long time ago, but I knew that Israel was involved in 9/11. But I really thought about it, and it occurred to me that fuck, Benjamin Netanyahu was one of the guys who planned the fucking thing. I mean, it was planned a long time ago, but they needed some guy in their midst to effect their plan and be the kingpin for it. And yeah, so I blame it all on him. At least within the realm of tangible attack against verbal attack against somebody, pointing a finger at somebody. It wasn't just George Bush, but George Bush's dad, and they're part of a cabal, and there's this whole other echelon of like rich motherfuckers in this world that run and control everything. But to get back to my point about 9/11, the fact that Israel was directly complicit, and that it's been completely overlooked, and by all administrations of every country, and the UN, it's like it's not oversight; it's deliberate. It's deliberate. They're not. They're letting it go. I mean, these motherfuckers perpetrated the most horrendous evil shit that caused the worst cascade of fucking horseshit ever in the world, and. Leading up to this point, they're all involved. They're all complicit. This World War III is a made-up piece of shit, and it's going to kill a lot of people. So, I'm not kidding when I say it's the end of days, because they have a plan, and it's written in stone. It's the Georgia Guidestones, and it's to depopulate the world. All these fucking rich assholes with their eugenics, like Bill Gates, like, oh, we need to get rid of some people. You have politicians in the United States government, Senate, congressmen saying depopulation is a good idea. All because the fucking UN said that there's going to be too many people. Well, the UN's in it too. So, they're all about trying to kill a bunch of people. And this whole context of a war with Russia, it's all bullshit. They just want to kill people. And that's the way I look at it. I don't look at the politics. I don't look at the semantics of it. I'm just like... It's if you see a pile of shit on the floor, it's a pile of shit.
I agree. A lot of people benefited from 9/11, but then again, that goes to say a lot of people benefit from terror in of itself. Terror is a financial market. Terror wouldn't be as profitable. Basically one of the reasons why terror is, terrorist organizations and stuff like ISIS, and you see them with all this flashy shit or whatever, I mean, besides the obvious, funding from, the corporate countries, America, Iran, Russia, so on and so forth. But, one of the reasons why they have the opportunity to, get, big, is because the way that America tried to originally infiltrate these groups never essentially worked out, and is what they had to do was they had to procure something tangible that would give them results in the form of a terrorist organization, and that was the CIA's complicity with the Taliban up until they assassinated its leader in 2001, I think. So what that does is it lots your country and your covert spy organizations, and it doesn't seem like it is, but what I'm getting into here is, it's equated of 30 years, 30 plus years of a covert, secret intelligence, essentially. And it has paid off in a very big way. And that way that we see it being paid off today is in the form of when two countries can't go somewhere to battle or fight for whatever international reason that may be, but Yemen, for example, we have essentially U.S. terrorist-backed organizations that are out there fighting other terror organizations. Now, who are these other? Because, you know, when these people are, it could be a terror organization strikes ISIS, and all of a sudden it's, you know, terror network strikes ISIS. It's no longer the terror network ISIS was, you know, hit up by another terrorist organization. So, well, in the context of that, you have, you know, other countries like Iran, who most likely have, I would assume, that they have to some extent groups like these at their disposal. So whereas the American, like U.S. Senate at one point in time may have had the American mafia at their dispense and at their disposal to maybe carry out some dirty work or some grunt work. You know, the countries overseas, they don't have those type of gangs. They have, you know, like, you know, jihad fighters, so people who fight for religious purposes, and you have idealistic fanatics, like you have in every country, and, you know, then you just have terror organizations, people who literally know that, you know, hey, you know, I live in a country where over 50% of the population is 18 years and younger. There is no real, you know, job opportunities to really do anything. By the time you hit the age of 15 to 18, most of the people that you know have already died anyways. So, in other words, it is a job opportunity for most people in those types of situations to seek out. And they usually end up with a secure spot in one of these organizations. Again, those organizations are funded by these world leaders, by these world governments. And we use countries like Yemen, and we use countries in the debatable zones. So maybe zones that were, for example, what happened in what happened in Yemen was you you have a waterway or a portway for certain maritime ships to transport Saudi oil.
Right.
And allegedly Yemen just being there, just residing there, was a threat in and of itself. So this is, again, it may have been Saudi Arabia that attacked them. However, 100% of all the arms that were used, in other words, there was not one piece of equipment that was fired in Yemen, even though it was by Saudi, that was not first bought and or provided for by the United States. So
okay,
again, now when you look at the people that are on the ground in Yemen, who are they fighting? Who are they bombing? Well, it's, you know, it's Iran's you know, little dissident groups or little terror networks and stuff. And what you have is like the game of Stratego or Risk. You know what I mean? You send in you know, your littlest type of people to essentially duke it out. And that's what we're seeing.
It's about territory. It's about, like, it sounds to me like they just want to acquire Yemen. They want to, like, pummel them because they have, Saudi Arabia has, I think, the world's largest army or something like that. They can if
they
want
to. Well, they're definitely the world's wealthiest, probably.
Well, yeah. Let's backtrack to the fact that the gasoline-powered car is the whole reason that they're rich. That there's money to be made with oil as long as there's gas-powered cars, which is why we don't have electric cars. It's, you know, this whole concept of civilization, the civilized, good, righteous, you know, bullshit that we pretend to be. I mean, I don't, but everybody else does. They think, well, we're Canada or we're the States. We're number one, you know, like we're good guys. And in fact, we're just accomplices to all this fucking massacre that's happened across the world in the last 13 years, with, you know, like the entire Middle East is pretty much wiped out. They want to attack Iran. They're having talks with Iran, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? I don't, it's all, everything that happens on the world stage is all fucking pre-written. It's like, it's just being played out like a card trick, you know, like, and they know how to play the trick and they fool everybody else and it's a means to an end. So I wanted to make a couple of sort of allusions or metaphors. So Russia and the United States, okay, they're like two brothers in a smash-up derby. Each one has a car, and one's red, one's blue, and they smash the shit up out of their cars. This is World War III. And, you know, they both live, but the cars are destroyed. I mean, they're brothers, so whoever wins the money, they both win the money. You know what I mean? And the other thing I compare the whole concept of this raping of the world, they're trying to reap as much as they can, as much as they can, even more than they can. Like, they're, dare I say, like, well, I won't say it. I was going to say, a jeweler or something, you know, like, give me more gold. I want more gold. Gold, 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 gold. Give it all to me. You know, like, they'll strip the gold out of the teeth of someone, or, you know, like, they'll do whatever they can to get as much fucking gold as they can. Because it's valuable, but it isn't. It's just a metal. But the fact is, like an American Indian with a cow, okay, or a buffalo, they used everything on the fucking buffalo. There was nothing left when they were done with it. That's called being really efficient. And these motherfuckers that are, you know, tapping the world for all it's worth, I mean, they're fracking, for Christ's sakes. They're sticking chemicals in the water to get as much as they can out. I just read an article that they're letting the livestock drink this fucking polluted water, and then to sell it to us as consumer products, whatever, meat. But the fact is, it's so immoral. It's so unethical. It's like,
oh, I'm on mute. That's crazy, dude. The what the hell was it there? The fracking water, the wastewater.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts, dude.
Well, they're the cows are the livestock are drinking they're drinking up the wastewater, so they don't have to get rid of the wastewater. It's like it's efficient, it's evil, but so we're kind of in a mire where there's so much crap going on, and they lay it on us like a little bit every day, like a wafer upon a wafer upon a wafer. Pretty soon the wafer's like, you know, 600 pounds, and you're stuck underneath it, and you can't do nothing. But there is something you could do, and that's, you know, chip away at the block, basically. So what do you think?
Towards what?
Well, just, you know, the analogy about the U.S. and the Russians will mutually destroy each other for the mutual benefit of the rich getting what they want, which is fewer people. That's the goal, right? And so, you know,
I think you're right in saying that, you know, anybody who thinks that this world leader is, you know, different than the other, whether they're in China, Russia, or America, you know, are obviously, you know, playing into that paradigm. They're obviously living it and they're being duped by it. But that stands, you know, relatively true. So, I mean, in the sense of, you know, of course, yeah, Russia and America, China and Russia eventually, just like, you know, Russia, or excuse me, just like the United States and the UK are starting to kind of, you know, break down in some ways on a communication level. I think
really?
That, it's called the U.S.-UK Special Relations, and the U.S.-UK Special Relations are really, really systematically starting to break down certain types of, because basically the United States is, they're not even a subsidiary corporation. Like a subsidiary corporation is like a smaller like company to like a bigger corporation, and we're actually a I guess you could call it like a subsidiary company. So we're like a restaurant chain or something like that, you know.
And, right, right. A franchise of a big company.
Yeah, right, exactly. And we're starting to see that now more than ever with the, you know, USA police in the world type thing. And, you know, so, again, what happens when, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, chains do get to, you know, big for their britches? They end up folding, you know, underneath the corporate shares. So I guess what is going on is we have a president because he is allocated the sovereignty through the chivalry, and that is that chivalry that he's allocated that sovereignty through is
the London Corporation.
Heraldry. Well, it's heraldry is what it's, you know, you're in they're inherently a sovereign. So basically is what they're saying is that you can only technically be, you know, sovereign to yourself or unto the territory that you have been given. And again, that means that you're occupying that and you own it yourself, but it's not technically yours because it was given to you. You know what I mean? The same thing with, like, America, you know what I mean? America's not technically ours, it was, you know, given to us. I mean, again, look at the people who even founded the Constitution, even though they may not have been, British loyalists, they were, to the most certain extent, British subjects, okay? And they, you know, were operating under... Again, whether or not they knew is really not the point. The fact of the matter is that we are in a very small incorporated few that are expanding vast amounts of land underneath a giant military presence. And I'm thinking certain kickbacks of that land are not getting sent to where they need to be going. I'll give you an example. In America, when we had the recession, and the recession was brought on through inflation and people not spending, but that was provocated by the sole collapse of the real estate market. The real estate debt expenditures for those were supposed to be retrofitted in a tangible amount, so meaning something that is not exchanged back less than what that was worth. So they either have to give, like, the person, like, the raw materials, like gold, silver, whatever type thing, you can only, you know, pay it off from that, or you have to give, because it had to do with real estate, you have to give that actual land. There has to be a transfer into that. And so is what's happening is, again, China led that, you know, led that crash because they were the ones who were pumping that money into the market, even though it was done by Wall Street, you know, business hawks or whatever, but that was created for that purpose that it can eventually, you know, collapse. Is what you have then is you start to see things like the Bundy Ranch and all that other stuff, and really is what it is these people are trying to, Bureau of Land Management. What's that?
Seize the land, well, like, kind of thing.
Yeah, like the Bureau of Land Management and stuff, their offices are actually located in, like, Puerto Rico, all right? And,
oh, really?
Like, the office. Yeah, and the offices of the chairman of, like, the president of Treasury is also located in Puerto Rico. So you have just basically an open door for things to come in and take over. So that's where the U.S.-UK relationship most likely is being faulted at.
Okay.
But, yeah.
It's sort of like the toilet flushing, right? Everything's going down, and we can pick apart the minutiae, the little stuff about, like, it's not little at all. Everything that happens is fucking massive these days. But, eventually, like, the toilet will flush, and it'll all go down. And I want to get to where we're at now. It's important to know what happened and how it got here, but it's also important to know what the fuck we're dealing with right at this moment. And, you know, to know that the toilet will flush. So, like, we've got this Operation Jade Helm going on. And up here in Canada, it's called Maple Resolve. Anyway, I know my leader is a crypto Jew, and I know he's, you know, the kiss his ass. And you know, Obama's a big sack of shit. He's an Israeli ass kisser too, and so is Vladimir Putin, and so is David Cameron. All of them. They're all Israel's connected in as like a central hub of some kind for the ruling elite to disseminate their wishes through them, kind of thing. Now, I guess this Operation Jade Helm thing, like six Walmart stores closed, and they have police and you know, military helicopters flying around and shit. You know, what's the news on that?
Well, as far as I know, the Operation Jade Helm or Jade Helm 15 or JH-15 are a course of 8-week exercises or 8-week war games that are going to be taking place between,
multiple states. It's on the south. It's in Dixie, or most of Dixie, and then from California all the way over, right? I'm not entirely sure.
I'm not sure. I think it's the Four Corners regions. I think it's like it's south. I think it's south, you know, southern part of the states or southwestern part of the states. But I think the operation is supposed to be held from July 15th through September 15th. I'm pretty sure. So that's
is it wise for the American government to be holding an operation of that magnitude at this heightened time of, you know, like, you could say paranoia, or you could say, like, there's fear. It's
from
almost
what
like
perspective? It's if you're trying to incite a war, absolutely, it's a smart thing to do. This is most likely how. You know, how many times, you know, we've almost detonated nuclear bombs during the Cold War because of a slip-up, you know what I mean? Like, this is what false flag attacks are predicated on.
Okay. So you're saying on the part of these evil bastards, this is exactly what they should be doing. But what I'm saying is, like, to any reasonable American. I mean, one of my friends told me that these Jade Helm exercises are being held in the states that have the most number of weapons, the widest used number of arms, so to speak.
It's
a covert operation with a, you know, a cover that it's X, but it's really Y, and they're going to go in and they're going to take everybody's weapons. What do you think of that?
Well, that's exactly what one of the reasons why that operation has been staged see if these people will bite back. If you look at some of the government reports that were released, so basically what's happening is when something like this is occurring, it seems like, you know, a lot more than what we already know would, you know, get out in the open. It really doesn't. And, you know, here's one of the reasons why. First of all, these people think that they are doing something on behalf of their country. Let me give you an example. The type of people who they're looking for on the top of their list, and this is in cooperation with the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Homeland Terror Watch, which... they take like Homeland Security numbers and of suspected terrorists or groups of terrorists, and then they, you know, condense those numbers, and then they say these people are the most dangerous. And at the very top, you have what they call sovereign citizens or whatever, which is actually an oxymoron, but we won't get into that. But and yeah, at the very last, you have it's a sovereign citizen movement, militias, vets.
Okay.
Military vets is third. Something like, I think, stoners or something like that, something stupid like that. So drug addicts, and then you have Islamic something at the bottom, or
oh, really?
Terrorists or some. Yeah, so it's like they're, you know, less. It's the least of their worries. What they think is that the latter is obviously not that big of a priority because, you know, how many, you know, people it contains. If there's obviously not that great of a terror threat from jihadists, then, you know, obviously there's not that many, you know, Islamic people around, whatever their idiotic idea is to that, I don't know. But basically is what they're doing is, you know, like Ruby Ridge, Waco, like that type of thing. So they're going into these neighborhoods to see who pushes back. Who's going to say, we are the whatever militia, we are the whatever sovereign citizens movement, and we say you're not fucking coming. They want to engage people. They want to engage them. And I was reading one of the outlines for the field directives of undercovers. Whatever that means, it doesn't necessarily mean police. It can mean somebody who they've paid to appear as, yeah, it's like a paid actor, somebody that's just walking around as a civilian. And one of the memo letters to the police departments, it was saying, it said something about like some sort of lock, like a lock or a safe word or something like that will be exchanged.
Okay.
If officer encounters somebody that they thought you know, might be involved with the operation, there's something that they can say to them in which their response would indicate that they were part of that program. They can continue with what it is that they're supposed to be doing. As again, the alleged reasons for this are to test those responses to see if those law enforcement and military personnel are prepared for something like this. So something will, and, you know, most likely is going to occur. But again, in the most, you know, apathetic of those, of that context, that it would be just that, something that maybe a person says, okay, I'm, you know, somebody who is part of the operation. You know, continue on, and that was the intrusion. And sometimes they have, you know, more than, you know, 1,500 of these types of war games like every year. So, you know, not every, you know, single, you know, not, there's not like 1,500 mass events that happen. But when undertaking something this large in a multi-state effort like this, it's severely dangerous, severely dangerous, because you're inhibiting a drill literally upon the lives of, you know, commuters and laborers. So you have a chance of there's going to be high contact. Somebody's going to resist. And it's just a matter of how many people will.
Okay. Well, in summary, I mean, we're running out of time, but just for now, and for forever, actually. But the point is that they, like, I'm not Alex Jones. I'm not going to be like, they're coming to get you. They're going to be, you know, like, I'm not that guy. But I'm sort of, like, similar in a way that I ain't Chicken Little. But, I mean, if there's a boulder rolling down the fucking mountain and you're standing at the bottom, it's going to crush you. And my question for anyone who gives a shit is, you know, why aren't you, you know, making people aware of this? Like, why aren't you passing on this information? Why isn't this being widely understood? You got to know that the media is lying to you, the government is lying to you, that the UN is a fake fucking bullshit organization. Every leader in every country is a puppet for the puppet masters. You know, we're in big fucking trouble. It's clear as day. If you just keep going to work and coming home and eating dinner and having sex with your wife, it's just like you're not getting it. Anyway, what do you
think? Well, again, though, these are those exact people that are in that perpetual rut. I mean, essentially, it's like the regression paradox. They go through life believing that it's, you know, 10 steps ahead, and really the whole time they're just tripping backwards. But those are the type of people that we're talking about. You know what I mean? The majority of people are people who are truly inept by the system. They truly depend on their enslavement. They truly do. And that sounds so fucking weird, but if you take away if you take away the job, or excuse me, if you take away the materials